This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Alrighty, hour number two, coming live from the Quicken Loans Studios, national mortgage lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio and CBS Sports Network here. Moving toward the draft, obviously Thursday is where it's at. It's going to be out in Arlington, Texas. So a big state for a big stage and a lot of big names and some which we'll get into here. Obviously, Sam Darnold, by the way, coming up next hour, 5:20 Eastern. The USC star could go first, could go second, could go third. Don't think he drops a lot more than that, but you never do know. Because I didn't really envision reading a paragraph that I'm about to read to my partner ever. But yeah. I read this morning. You ready for this?
Go ahead.
3 days before Thursday's draft, reports have emerged that Baker Mayfield is not only a possibility as a top three pick. That doesn't surprise me. Jets, I've been saying for a long time,
he's going
could
to
take
the
him
Jets
at
regardless. Yep. If nobody takes him, that's where he's going.
Agreed. But could also go number one to the Browns. According to a report, the Browns are deciding between Mayfield and Wyoming quarterback Josh Allen for the number one pick.
Very, very interesting. Johnny Manziel comparisons aside, meaning the off-the-field stuff, which I think has all been nonsense. Baker's not that kind of guy. Mm-hmm. And I think his dedication to the game is significantly more than Johnny Manziel's ever was. Now, you know, people, you know, may not, you know, look at the off-field stuff and just focus on the on-field stuff. Johnny Manziel, even in college, you remember this, BT, he was the last guy there, first guy to leave type of player. He was just so talented that he got away with being an average student of the game. That doesn't work in the National Football League, and it quickly showed itself, as even Johnny Manziel has admitted. Baker Mayfield is a student of the game, and you mm-hmm. see it in how he prepares, and we had him on at the Super Bowl. You can tell where his mindset is. He wants to be great, and he knows that being great isn't just because I'm naturally gifted, which he's not. He's 6 foot tall, and he looks like a running back more than he looks like a quarterback. And so that aside, his success in college is something that you cannot discount. The path that he took from transferring and walking on is something you cannot discount. I think he's the first non-scholarship athlete maybe in the history of the NCAA. I'm pretty sure this is true. I think I saw this stat somewhere, to win a Heisman Trophy. So
What about Army? I'm just trying to be cute here. What about Army? I know it's a full ride, but it's government. It's not athletic.
It's probably different because it's not everybody's on.
Yeah, I'm just
scholarship, so to speak.
Just let you know, I listen to what you say here.
I agree. I hear you. But I think that's a stat. I think I read that somewhere.
Okay.
They probably didn't even take into account Army, to be honest with you.
Gotcha. That's why I'm throwing it out there.
So long ago.
And Navy.
We'll look it up. Hopefully, Samter will look it up for us.
He's not going to do that.
But my point is, I love his story and his path and his work ethic, because you don't get to be as good as he was from where he came from unless you have a drive to be better than anybody else. That's why I said, of all these quarterbacks, he's the one I like, really the only one I like, because there's not a ton of flaws.
Mm-hmm.
You know, fits, like his game tape, there's not flaws. Now, the one thing I've always also said is, but he looks at the sideline every single play. And what he's doing over there is this coach is telling him, yes, the play we called is okay. You can stay with that play. You're going to throw it to one of two guys, right? That's not the NFL at all. The NFL is get up to the line of scrimmage. You can throw it to anyone, five guys out there you can throw it to. You determine who you're throwing it to based on what the defense gives you. Now, he's not going to have to do that in his first couple
of games. And you'll have 1.2 seconds to decipher what the hell you're going to do.
Exactly.
By the way, kid.
And nobody will be nobody will be running wide open, right?
Yeah.
Watch him in college. It's like, oh, that's a great throw by Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
There is literally nobody around the receiver.
Made some plays against Georgia, though.
I know.
Where
he did.
I'm like,
he did.
Okay.
He did. And so I love the kid. Mm-hmm. Now, the question is, should the Cleveland Browns take him number one? If they love him like I was just describing, they have to take him number one, because there used to be the thought, well, Baker Mayfield is going to go, like, I don't know, 11th to the Miami Dolphins. Or, you know, maybe he'll get to five with the Denver Broncos. Well, now we know the Jets are definitely taking him at three. So the Browns, if they decide they want Baker Mayfield, but say want to take Bradley Chubb at number one or Saquon Barkley at number one, and yeah, we can get Baker at four because he's still going to be there. Mm-hmm. He's not going to be there anymore. So the Browns, if this is really what they're thinking, they got a decision to make, like a big decision to make, and then they can readjust with what they do with the second of their first round picks.
Okay, the only thing that I would say where if Allen goes first, the only situation where I wouldn't see the Jets taking Mayfield, and assuming Tiki's Giants take Saquon Barkley. You and I have had a long running debate over this. They wrote about this in the Post, and they obviously leaned on Tiki's experiences as the best Giants running back, what he thought. You and I just disagree on this, and we'll see how it shakes out. I would not take Barkley, too. I would trade or I would take the quarterback if I like the quarterback. But if Sam Darnold's there, meaning so, and it's going to be.
Meaning for the
Jets at three.
Yes.
And you're McCagnon, who whiffed on Hackenberg, a second-round pick. He never played a snap, which is disgraceful. You also whiffed on Petty, who was a fourth-round pick. You know, don't you think McCagnon, now I hope that he doesn't view his job through this prism, but self-preservation is a powerful tool, powerful motivator.
Yeah.
If he's faced with the decision, Mayfield and Darnold, at least he can reconcile to the fans and maybe ownership down the road if Darnold bombs, if he did in fact take Darnold. Well, I went with the better prospect, the one with a more definable ceiling, but also more definable floor.
True,
he can kind of protect his own behind.
True,
so that's how I could see Mayfield falling
getting to four,
to four
getting
or to five four. To the Broncos.
By the
or
way,
four to the Browns would
the first non-scholarship player since scholarships were introduced in 1950 in the 50s, whatever year that was, in the 50s to win the Heisman. So.
Oh, there you go.
Good job,
Sam. That's when scholarships were introduced?
Yeah, I had no idea.
So that's like the star of, I don't know, USC in 1946 didn't have a full ride?
Probably not.
Really?
I mean, college probably wasn't as expensive as it is
That's all
now.
Relative, though. If you're making $9,000 a year as a family and you're paying $1,300 for college,
that's a good
kind of matters.
I
got to look
idea.
That up. I got to do some reading on that.
Now
I'm intrigued.
Now here's the Jets, I think, have to, if Sam Darnold is still there, the Jets have to take
I tend to agree, and even though I would still make a fight for Mayfield on some level.
But this is why this gets so confounding, because the Giants, I mean, maybe they'll take Sam Darnold if he's there. But I don't see them taking, if Sam Darnold goes one, I don't see the Giants taking any of the other quarterbacks.
I agree with that.
So
I agree.
And so they either trade out or take Bradley Chubb or Saquon Barkley. I'd prefer them to take Saquon Barkley, but whatever.
Yep.
If Sam Darnold is hanging around, he's not getting to the Jets, right? Because the Giants will take him, right?
And the Giants will trade with somebody.
Who will take him.
Who will give up a ton knowing that he dropped to two.
Exactly.
Yep.
And so that will happen in 5 minutes. You know how this works. It's like 15 calls. It'll be three guys on calls in the war room for the New York Giants, and probably like five guys on calls at the Giants war room if the Cleveland Browns don't take him number one overall. Now, the question is, would that be the right thing? Would that be the right thing for the Cleveland Browns to go with the sure star, at least any short-term star, because he had such great success at Oklahoma and Baker Mayfield winning the Heisman Trophy, getting to the college football playoff, and being the star college quarterback. Is that the right move for them? I think it is, because I know he can play. And even if it's just a short-term, I don't know, he burns himself out of the league in 4 or 5 years, at least you started something, right? At least you started.
You can't view that pick this way.
You can't.
I don't agree with that.
I can't
view this pick that way.
Why?
You can't look at it as, well, even if it gives us a little, temporary bump, this has to be the guy.
But you
got five options. Pick the franchise quarterback.
BT, you
get the guy.
You can't ever know.
No, I understand that.
You can't
go in with that mindset.
It's
a Band-Aid. He's got to be the guy.
I've started to believe this for the last few years now, and it kind of was around Cam Newton, even Marcus Mariota, certainly. I'm forgetting a guy's name down in Houston.
Jameis Winston, Deshaun Watson.
Deshaun Watson, right? There's a subtle shift in how quarterbacks are being viewed these days. It used to be, if we can go get the Aaron Rodgers type player or the Peyton Manning or even Eli Manning, because Eli's been there forever now, let's go get that guy, right? He's going to be your quarterback for the foreseeable future, like 12 to 15 years. I think there's a shift happening in some GMs and organizations' standpoints where they're saying it's so impossible to find that guy. I mean, how many teams have done it? Like six, seven?
Well, I mean, three guys from Eli's draft.
Agreed.
But Derek Carr is going to be that guy.
You don't know that.
He's going to be that guy.
You don't know that.
Winston's going to be that guy.
I think so, but I don't know that. I mean, Jameis Winston could intercept his way out of you know what I mean? Marcus Mariota has major injury issues.
Andy Dalton, believe it or not, is actually kind of close to being that guy. He's been there for a while.
Yeah, but is he Eli level? Is he Ben Roethlisberger level? Is he no
talent wise? I think he's pretty similar to Eli. No, not Big Ben. Talent wise,
no. Forget talent. I'm talking about success wise.
Well, that's not fair to Andy Dalton that he has one of the worst coaches who doesn't know how to coach in January.
True.
I mean, come on.
My point is, do you see Andy Dalton being there for another 6 years?
No, probably not.
I don't know.
You see Dak Prescott being there for another 10 years for Dallas?
No.
You don't?
No, I
don't. You see Carson Wentz if he's healthy? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But he's more, but I didn't know that going in. I didn't know that drafting him.
No, I understand that, but there's the concept. So there's two different things. They don't always intersect.
I agree.
Intersect.
And I'm not saying everybody is going to fall on the line like this, but I think there's a.
But why not find the guy that does?
Because it's impossible to find the guy that does.
But not when you have the first pick and there's five guys.
It might be hard for
the Denver Broncos at number five.
Unless you pick the wrong guy.
Unless
you say Josh Allen is my guy. I see the potential. He's got this big, strong arm, regardless of how bad his completion percentage is. And by the way, let's call a spade a spade. Regardless of how little tape there is on him. And now I'm not talking about, he played two seasons there. He was great 1 year. And he had less attempts than Sam Darnold, than Josh Rosen, than Lamar Jackson and Baker Mayfield had completions. Get that. 270 attempts he threw. And they're always, but look at his touchdown interception ratio. He didn't throw the ball. You know what I mean? So, yeah, the sample size is probably not representative enough to know how good or bad he actually is. It's an enormous question if you're looking at Josh Allen. It's why he's got to be the most debated quarterback that's going to be picked in the top five that we've had in a long, long time.
He's up there. He's up there.
As I just said, the analytics on tape look terrible. The potential is fantastic. It's just that's me and I'm a GM, no chance I'm touching that.
You're not touching Josh Allen.
Not because of what I just said.
Yeah.
I want to know. I want more of an answer to my question than what Josh Allen gives you.
So you'd sacrifice, in theory, 20% pop in production down the road, knowing you're getting
at
least 50 cents on the dollar.
Yes, but, because I know you don't need it. I know you need.
Well, it doesn't hurt.
It doesn't hurt at all, dude. If you got Brett Favre or Aaron Rodgers,
you got
Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. Give me Aaron Rodgers. But you know what? Yeah. If I can take Russell Wilson, I'd take that. Uh-huh. I could win with that.
Well, here's a couple things I take away from this too, and we're gonna throw all this by Aaron Murray, who's gonna join us coming up next year, CBS Sports college football analyst, of course, former college quarterback. All these quarterback scenarios and questions we have, we'll get his thoughts coming up next year. Mel Kiper, I know he's wrong as much as he's right. I get that.
Yeah.
Mel Kiper has had Josh Allen going first the entire process.
Yep.
What I find interesting is that this newest report that you and I just referenced here has either Mayfield or Allen. So in the most, I don't want to say the ones that have gained, well, maybe the ones that have gained the most traction, both have, or neither have, Darnold going first.
Yeah.
That I find pretty interesting.
Even though he looks like the best prospect.
He looks like he's from casting for the most part.
Right.
Central casting, USC, big kid, quick feet, good arm, all that stuff. The other thing I would say real fast on this is, in 3, 4, 5 years, there's no way I don't believe we're sitting here and we're going to have to say, man, how do we just not see that Baker Mayfield didn't love football or he's just, stopped grabbing his junk or stopped doinking guys off the helmet when they ran out of the tunnel like he did in college those antics are going to end. I am not worried about if you think he's too small, that's fine. If you think he's a clown and he doesn't love football, you're wrong.
You're right.
This kid is possessed to be great.
Yeah. And by the way,
I'll take a chance on that.
Whatever NFL locker room he steps in, he's not going to be the alpha man. He's just not. So if he was doing those...
Should he try to be if that's in his...
No. But I'm
should
saying,
he be who he is, though?
He will be, but that's beside my point.
Okay.
When he walks in as a rookie, he's still a rookie.
Yeah.
There's going to be some big-ass, country vet that's going to be like, dude, stop.
Yep.
And that's going to stop.
Yeah. Okay.
And Oklahoma, he was the man.
They're all patting him on the behind.
Exactly.
That's our guy.
Exactly.
I hear you. Okay. All right. Aaron Murray next. Quarterback questions. We get some answers. Looking forward to this conversation. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
It's like when you're out on the field, you figure out what you want to accomplish and formulate a plan of action, but you don't put that plan into play until the time is right. If you know what you're doing, it's like you've achieved your goal before the play even starts. You can do the same thing with O'Reilly Auto Parts. When you need a part, but you're not in the right position to go pick it up, you can just order the parts you need at O'ReillyAuto.com, then pick them up at any of their 5,000 stores nationwide when the time is right. No shipping costs, returns are always easy, and you can pick them up when it's convenient for you. It's the smart play. Getting what you want when you shop for auto parts has never been this easy, and there's no guesswork. You know the exact part you want will be waiting for you when you walk in the door. And if you have any questions, the pros at O'Reilly are ready to help. Shop your way for the parts you need at O'ReillyAuto.com. Better parts, better prices every day.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Okay, Tiki and Tierney back, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network here. Hey, next hour, Sam Darnold. Tell your friends, let them know what's happening. We got Sam coming on the show at 5:20 Eastern. So if you're in the car and you will be out of the car at that time, 5:20 Eastern again. If you're near a TV and you get CBS Sports Network, make sure you pop us on. Sam's going to join us at 5:20 Eastern. If you lose the range, say, of your local affiliate, Sirius XM 206, don't want to miss this. He very well, I don't know if he's not number one, two. I mean, he's in the mix,
right,
along with a few other guys. So let's get the lowdown scout report on all these big names and maybe branch away from the quarterback position a little bit. Primarily, though, we'll focus on the quarterbacks with a former quarterback. His name is Aaron Murray, CBS Sports Network college football analyst, and he's been with us before. He's from course played at Georgia. Aaron, Tiki, and Tierney, how are you today?
Doing good. How are you guys doing today?
Oh, boy, just reacting to the latest rumblings and rumors and innuendo. I don't know if you caught the story that there's a thought that Baker Mayfield could actually go first overall now. I mean, I don't even know what's real and what's not. So let's start with, who is the one prospect that if you had a top three pick, all right, that you absolutely would not touch no matter what? You simply would not draft him, and why not?
Oh, man, I've been going on and on about this guy since day one. And I actually watched him 2 years ago. I was preparing myself to become a broadcaster, so they gave me a film to watch. It was Boise State in Wyoming, and I've never seen Josh Allen play before or anything like that. And I turned on the film, and I watched and was not impressed. And I saw a week later, reading some articles, that this kid is going to have an unbelievable year. He's going to be a top five draft pick next year. And I'm like, is that the same guy I just watched film of? And so I made sure I watched him throughout the season, kind of see what he looks like. And I tell you what, I'm not impressed. It's crazy to me that this kid, who, it's funny, CBS put out there earlier that I don't think he's completed over 58% of his passes since high school.
He hasn't.
I mean, in high school, he was completing 50% of his passes.
Yep.
In college, he's completing 56%. For me, the threshold for QB is kind of that 63% mark. If you can't complete 63% of your passes in college, I don't know how you're going to go to the NFL and have any kind of success.
But let me stop you for a second, Aaron. Forget about the numbers. I hear you. And that's been documented, and we've heard that before. But you divorce yourself pretty candidly from him. Like, there's no middle ground. But it's got to be more than just numbers. Like, I want our audience to really feel why you don't believe Josh Allen's going to make it. Talk to us more than just numbers and the stats.
Some people are just not – they're just not accurate quarterbacks. It's a hard trait to teach. And you look at Baker, and there's a reason why, even though he's 6 foot tall, that he's potentially a top five, top ten pick, is because he completes his passes. He's just some guy's – it's like a pitcher on the mound. Some guys can pick their spots, and it doesn't matter if they throw 80, 85 miles per hour. I mean, you could have John Smoltz out there throwing mid-80s, but he picks his spots. He knows where the ball is going to be, and that's why he wins games and wins championships and from the baseball level. Same thing with football. You don't need a rocket arm. You don't need to throw the ball 80 yards down the field. You need to be able to pick your points out, pick your points with the targets, with these windows, because the majority of the game is played within 10, 15, 20 yards. The game's not played 40 to 80 yards down the field. And if you don't have great anticipation, if you don't have great footwork, that's going to throw you off. And that's been well documented, too. If you watch this kid, he trusts his arm a little too much, and that's going to get you in trouble when you think you have a rocket arm, you can fit into these tight windows. Then you kind of throw timing out the way, and then that's when you're kind of rushing it. That's when you're anxious in the pocket, and then that's when you're inaccurate. Where if you're a guy who maybe not grew up with the strongest arm in the world, you rely on touch, you rely on timing, you're throwing to a spot on time in rhythm, you're going to be a lot more accurate because you're not muffling a ball in there.
Okay, there you go.
Yep.
Good stuff. Aaron Murray is with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Aaron, you know, you talk about all these things with Josh Allen. We don't want to get overly hooked on Josh Allen, but I'm going to stay here for a second. Are those things fixable? You know what I mean? You were in the league for a couple years. You saw some of the quarterback coaches, the coordinators, et cetera. They try to coach out your bad habits from college. But is any of that fixable? Because we know the analytics of the tape are horrible. Yeah. But you can't help but look at, dude, he's strapping.
He's fast.
He's big. He's fast. He's athletic. He's got hands the size of meat cleaver. I mean, can you be coached into doing those things, or is it something that is kind of lost?
You can. I honestly think there is, especially if you're going to be a top five pick. I mean, the amount of money that's going to be put into this kid, along with everyone else drafted, especially in the first round, they're going to work with you. They're going to spend the time with you, whether it's in rookie minicamp, all of OTAs, heading into camp before the season starts. You're going to be awarded a ton of reps. And it's a matter of you trusting your coaches, trusting your ability. I know plenty of guys who, in the back of their mind, know I need to hit my fifth step in rhythm and let the ball rip. You know it, but there's a difference between knowing it and listening and actually going out there and executing it and not just reverting back to your old ways of saying, I have a big, strong arm, and I've always been taught, oh, I'm just going to relax my footwork, hit my fifth step, chill for a quick second, make sure I see the guy come open, and then try to use my, you know, muscled in there and try to throw the ball. So it's definitely trainable, and like I said, with the amount of reps that he's going to receive and the amount of time he's going to see the defenses and see these certain plays against each a cover two, a cover three, cover four, whatever it may be, that hopefully he kind of trains him and all these other guys train out whatever, you know, bad techniques they've been accustomed to, whether it's in high school or college. So it's just a matter of him trusting these guys that he's going to be surrounded with.
You know, Aaron, let me take you outside of your position and maybe go back to a position that your school has been pretty heavy at in the last couple of years, that's running back. Now, my team, the New York Giants, is in the market, I think, of four running backs. Saquon Barkley may go number two. But there's two guys who are really interesting coming from Georgia. Sony Michel, obviously, who had a fantastic postseason. And then Chubb as well. When you look at those two guys, they may not make it in the first round, but what kind of pros can they be?
I love both kids, and both are, and you saw it last year, some of the most unselfish players. I mean, I don't know if you could put two stud running backs on one college team and have had that much success and that much fun and joy doing it as well. I mean, those guys were equally as happy for one guy to score a touchdown or rush for 200 yards as, you know, if they did themselves. So that's what kind of teammate you're getting by drafting either of these guys. I think looking at them, I definitely have to say Sony is more the complete back, and you can do more with him. I mean, you can put him on kick return. You can put him on punt return. You can put him in the slot. You can swing him out of the backfield. I think he's just a little bit more versatile, has a little bit more wiggle. I think Chubb is still more of your downhill back. Obviously, he does have the ability to break some big runs, but he doesn't have that kind of wiggle and excitement that I think Sony's going to bring to the game and versatility as well. And then obviously you have to look, and you know it better than anyone, the health of a running back.
Yeah.
And it's a very short career. Nick's had some pretty traumatic injuries, and it's been amazing the way he's come back. And I think he's 100%. I don't know if he's the same Nick Chubb that maybe we saw as a freshman and sophomore. The way he hurt himself against Tennessee, I don't know if anyone can get back to fully 100% after that kind of thing and still being a running back too, the way you've been nicked up. But I must say the positive about these two kids is the fact that they didn't get a lot of reps last year. You know, you look at these guys, you know, like I say, Saquon Barkley, who's the main guy who's getting, you know, 20, 25, 30 reps a game, or carries. And you look at these guys splitting it, they definitely took a load off each other. They weren't getting beat up as much. And definitely throwing in DeAndre Swift in there as well. So that's a positive for them heading into the league of they didn't have a year of just getting their just knocked around left and right, playing in 13, 14 games in college.
Aaron, not a whole lot of time left, about maybe a little bit inside of a minute. That's Aaron Murray, of course, played at Georgia, CBS Sports Network football analyst. He's going to be with us on Tops on Wednesday. We're doing a 3-hour primetime show here on CBS Sports Network from 8 to 11, so he'll be a part of that coverage. Are you a Lamar Jackson guy? I mean, there's really no in between with him. Where do you stand on Jackson for Louisville? Teek and I both like him. How about yourself?
Yeah, I like Lamar. I think he's a project. I mean, he has a lot of work to do, but I think he's a guy who showed improvement, though. You know, and I'm sorry, I keep going back to Josh Allen. He didn't make any improvements in my mind over the past 2 seasons. But you look at Lamar, I think he realized that he needed to work on his footwork. He needed to work on his accuracy. You turn the tape, he got better last year. He took it to heart. He got better. So you look at him and say, listen, this kid understands what it takes to be great. He's willing to put the time in. He's shown that he has the ability to improve his game, especially those areas that he is weak. I think he's a guy you put him behind someone great, you know, late first-round pick, go to a team that maybe doesn't need a quarterback day one. I think he is everything you want as long as you put him in the right situation.
All right, my man, get those pipes ready. We'll be using you Wednesday on Tops, as I said. Appreciate some stuff, Aaron Murray, Georgia. And, of course, part of the team here at CBS Sports. Thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, guys. Have a good one.
Be good, Aaron.
All right. There you go. Interesting. I'm happy you got the running back question in there.
Yeah, because those two guys, they don't get talked about.
Both
of those guys rushed for over 1,000 yards last year, had, you know, double-digit touchdowns, and they don't get talked about.
Support running backs. Love for your running back.
And you know what's interesting? They're in a situation that it exists in the National Football League. Very few teams, say from 3 or 4, maybe 5, have a one down guy or every down guy. Mm-hmm. Most teams, you have to split carries, and have to be okay splitting carries. Otherwise, you're elsewhere.
That's true. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way to save money. Switch to Geico. Just go to geico.com and in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. So coming up, Teek and I have football at the 40s. Next hour, Sam Darnold going to join us here at 520 Eastern, USC quarterback. Also, Kevin Durant, some real hardcore, in-depth career advice to Giannis, which would piss me off if I lived in Milwaukee or if I own the Bucks there. We'll get to that story as well. Football at the 40s is next. Right now, we got Axe Update. Here's Rich.
This is Teeky and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
Teeky and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Time now for Doing More, brought to you by the Home Depot. The next generation of home improvement, everything you need to do Project Smarter. Teeky was there this past weekend. The Home Depot, more saving, more doing. We take a look at somebody who's doing a whole lot for his team, and you got to start. How about the Pelicans? They're off to a second round. I mean, they're already on to the second round, I should say, thanks to their often overlooked guard, Drew Holiday, who's been lighting up. He's been around 9 years, but he's finally getting a little shine here as he overcame the All-Star snub, and he just lit up the Blazers, pumped in nearly 30 points a game, 6 assists, 4 boards, including his stellar 41-point performance in Game 4 to slam the door of the series. So the question is, can he and Rondo keep this up against the Warriors in the next round to shock the world? Now, with Steph Curry, the answer would be no.
No.
Nice seeing you.
Yeah.
But the report from Steve Kerr earlier today that Steph is still a ways away.
He looks it.
You never know.
Hey, BT, look, they changed up their lineup with the San Antonio Spurs. Now, look, the Golden State Warriors still have to get through the San Antonio Spurs. I think that will happen in the next game.
Yep, tomorrow that
possibly
would be.
Possibly two, but I think it'll happen in the next game. I agree with you. But Rajon Rondo and Drew Holiday, who were great in this series against the Portland Trail Blazers, against their backcourt, had a lot to do with the Portland Trail Blazers' backcourt being smaller guards. The Warriors, they're going to start Andre Iguodala at guard. Or
Livingston, 6'7", 6'8", when he's coming, you know, he's playing big minutes.
I mean, hell, KD plays the point half the time, bringing the ball up the court. So are they going to shut them down? I doubt it.
Who's going to stop Anthony Davis?
That's the only problem. But
David West?
I'm at the point where I'm saying, let AD do what he wants to do.
McGee?
Let Andre Iguodala, who's a beast defender, won defensive MVP in the finals, right? Mm-hmm. Or no, he won the MVP in the finals the first year he beat LeBron
because he
shut down LeBron.
He
so,
did.
Okay. Yeah. I have faith that the Warriors will be all right.
All right. This series or all right next series without
both.
Curry?
Both.
Okay. It'd be a good series without Curry, though, even if he misses one or two.
I agree.
I saw this during the break. It looks like the Chargers picked up Melvin Gordon's fifth-year option. No surprise there, 2019.
No, he's He's the guy.
Makes a lot of sense. Before we get to football at the 40s, you and I were talking about this during the break here.
This is awesome.
Well, you think so?
I think it's great, right, man.
Let me set it up because you read something about this. I saw over the weekend, UCF, we know that they didn't get a chance to play for the championship.
Mm-hmm.
And at their spring game over the weekend, they unfurled the banner, 2017 National Championships, and they actually got rings.
Yeah, man.
As their president said, he would deliver. Now, go ahead. I don't mind this. I don't want to be Debbie Downer, but go ahead.
And I can't remember the name of it. There is one metric, though, that says that they are national champions. Like, there's all these, you know, classified, you know, the college football playoff system, the AP, et cetera, et cetera. There's one of them that UCF is the national champion. I can't remember which one it's called, but it doesn't matter. But I think this is fantastic for UCF. It's a great recruiting ploy. It's a great newsmaker.
Well, recruits you to think they won the championship?
Yeah, of course.
No, They're going to walk into the stadium.
They're going to see, maybe not like next year, 5 years, and they're going to see this, and it's going to say UCF national champions. It's going to at least spark a conversation.
Uh-huh.
Now, this is a great article.
And the conversation is going to go like this. You guys won the national championship? No.
Yes, we shared the national championship. I'm reading this article in the Orlando Sentinel by Mike Bianchi, and he obviously hates the system as it is said. Now.
Where's he working?
At Orlando.
Orlando Sentinel.
Yeah,
Central Florida.
But he makes a point. He says college football has the most biased, discriminatory championship deciding system in the history of sports. Mm. How can an undefeated team that have no chance to compete for a national championship is both inexplicable and inexcusable? And he goes on and he cites a couple of examples. One he brings up is Boise State, how they went undefeated twice under Chris Peterson. Yeah. They never got a chance. And he also talks about Urban Meyer in 2004 when he was at Utah.
Oh, Alex Smith's team.
When Alex Smith was on that team. Exactly.
Well, 12-0, right?
Exactly. And so they've created this narrative that a lot of national media has co-signed that says if you are a group of five, not a power five, if you're in the group of five, the only way that you're even be consideration for a national championship is if you prove yourself for 2 or 3 years or 4 years or whatever.
Or if you make one up.
Or if you make one up. So you might as well make one up because you're never going to be able to get a group of kids in 4 years to do the same thing over and over from a group of five schools. So I love that.
Yeah, I don't have. I mean, I'm kind of messing around a little bit. The only difference is I think where you and I differ a little bit, and it's kind of splitting hairs because large part I think it's awesome because they really – you want to see that accomplishment have a chance to prove itself out something tangibly.
Agreed.
Listen, when they put this on social media, I thought it was cool. I thought it was interesting. I thought it was unique. I thought it was smart. But you buy rings.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one thing, the buying symbolism rings, versus something tangible. You didn't really win, though, because you didn't play the game.
But you, according to one of the polls.
But you got a ring?
Hey, they can spend their money on what they want to spend their money
on. How about this? I'm going to buy you a ring that says Super Bowl champs.
But I didn't play in the Super Bowl.
Well, but I'm going to say because the Ravens got to practice 5 more hours that week, that's why they thoroughly outplayed you guys. Otherwise, you would have a Super Bowl ring.
It's not subjective. It's not.
But this is the way it is. It's forever like this.
The NFL is objective. It is a meritocracy.
So what about the Olympics where you have some foreigner hold up 9.5 on figure skating?
Oh,
that's fair?
That's why nobody believes.
Exactly.
In figure skating.
Did he get that in his article?
That's why nobody believes in boxing. How can Triple G and Canelo be a draw? Right? You watched the fight. It wasn't a draw.
I didn't see that one, but I know it was really. I know it was crooked.
It was completely crooked. So if anything that's subjective has a chance to be run afoul.
But everything's subjective because even throughout
the NFL is not subjective.
No, yes, sure it is. I'll tell you why. Even over the course of a 60-minute game, if I throw,
oh come on, don't give me the referee.
Mr. Literal showing up right now.
If I throw a penalty
in the first quarter that sustains a drive on a subjective call like hands to the face or holding, it's subjective.
Yeah, but you actually played a game that had a result.
Yes, but the result is achieved through a subjective element of my interpretation.
UCF played a game won every game.
I'm not trying to rain on them. They've got a great, and where they came from.
Who's the coach now, by the way? A couple years before that. Who's the coach now, by the way?
I forget. The guy who took over Coach Frost. What's the guy's name again?
I don't know.
What's his name? Get him on the show. We'll tell him he's doing a great job. Although, he hasn't done anything yet.
You're right.
So, if I'm him, I wouldn't be showing that ring off yet because if you go, 5-6 this year, they're going to want to get rid of you.
Oh, Heupel. Josh Heupel.
Oh, that's right. Josh Heupel.
Forgot about that.
Former quarterback. Sorry, Josh. All right, you ready for a little football at the 40s? Ready?
Yes.
Okay.
kick, right hash mark.
40 yards on the return.
A 40-yard touchdown.
40 yards.
You love football. We love football. So we give you football every day. It's Football at the 40 with Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, Tiki, this was interesting over the weekend. Now, listen, Josh Allen, and we're still hoping to get him on the show.
Yep.
I'm not confirmed yet. Hopefully it happens. But, and by the way, next hour we will have Sam Darnold coming up at 5:20 Eastern. Book that. He's trying to not necessarily explain away, but give a little perspective.
Yep.
To his inaccuracies that stem, as we found out over the weekend, all the way back to JV football at Fireball High School. In succession, JV, 59.5, varsity, 2 years, 50.8, 57.4. There's the stats if you're watching this on the tube. Junior college, 49%, and, of course, at Wyoming, 56% and 56.3. We're not making that up. No. I like this kid, but boy, that is a scary, scary graph.
It really is. Now, he's trying to walk it back and or talk this out of the conversation by saying, well, they asked me to do a lot at quarterback at Wyoming. Well, most quarterbacks are asked to do a lot, so that's not really an excuse. But he also said that he's working with Jordan Palmer, who, interestingly, will ask Sam Darnold because Sam Darnold also is working out with Jordan Palmer, and he's helped fix some of his mechanics and his footwork, and he should be okay. Still be to determine. I'm not sold.
Okay. Mike Mayock's got a little more to say. Last week he was ticked off. He's not getting the job. He wants to get in the booth there. Mayock does a good job. He's also has harsh criticism for Big 12 defenses. He also said that he believes Sam Darnold will go first overall, so he's on the record with that.
Yep.
Quote, you're not going to like this, and Big 12 coaches aren't going to like me either, but I'm just going to say it the way it is. I've had a lot of conversations around the league, and sometimes Big 12 football is really hard to watch, especially from a defensive perspective. I'm not taking a shot at their style. I'm just saying it's a different evaluation for the NFL people.
Yeah.
End quote. There seems to be a lot of merit behind
those
quotes.
I think
quotes.
The biggest thing here, the Big 12 has become like the Pac-12 used to be, where your defenders are all small because everybody's all so spread out. You know what I mean? So it's hurry up, get to the line of scrimmage. We have four receivers out there. We're going to fling the ball around the whole time. And as a result, you can't have a 240-pound linebacker on the field.
Mm-hmm.
So you end up having, at least not three of them, so you end up having DBs. They get beat once, and you got a touchdown. And so there's no like stoutness to their defense, which is explains why Baker Mayfield had such success. But it is what it is, right? It's like a flag football league, but there's nothing wrong with that.
I enjoy watching the Big 12, but I'll tell you, the last year or two, and it's always kind of been like this, but I noticed the last maybe even 2 or 3 years, it's morphing into close to unwatchable.
I don't disagree.
I mean, when it's 21-14,
I know,
and it's the end of the first quarter,
always go
unless
over.
I have the over, I'm not happy.
I agree,
which I usually do.
Always go over.
Yeah, I hear you. You gotta watch out for those weather patterns in the Big 12. So as we know, Teak, every team gets 30 top 30 visits here.
Mm-hmm.
Lamar Jackson, here's another intriguing rumor for the Patriots. They're reportedly impressed and intrigued with Lamar Jackson after his top 30 visit. Can you see him working for Belichick?
Kind
of style?
I like Lamar Jackson's skill set. I think he's bigger than people say he is. He's fast. He's athletic. He's a difference maker. And he needs to learn. And I think if a guy like Lamar Jackson is going to make it in the NFL, he can't go somewhere where the quarterback coach and the offensive coordinator say, all right, yeah, just use your athleticism and you'll figure it out. He needs to be reprogrammed and retaught all of those things, and it's going to take some time. Now, does he have time if he goes to New England? Maybe a year.
He's got 5 years, Tommy. Tommy's just getting going.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, so I like that as a destination.
Yep.
I just, he might have to play too soon before he's ready for it.
I don't love it for a day. I think he's got to, you know, and I like Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
I want to see him go somewhere warm.
Huh, interesting.
I mean, I just think whether it's Miami, whether it's Jacksonville taking a flyer.
Yeah, I'd have to go look at the splits. I got to go look at the splits from college in cold weather.
A little bit. You know, but I do like Lamar Jackson. I'll tell you this, Tom Brady and Gronkowski saw this report over the weekend. Still a little bit irritated over Malcolm Butler being benched in the Super Bowl. You know, who knows the depth of this, but it does show a lingering this negativity that's kind of sucking the life out of the franchise.
It doesn't go away.
If those guys feel it, everybody's got to feel it.
It's not going away. I mean, we thought it would subside at some point. It's just not. Because you used to never hear these stories about the New England Patriots, ever, ever. Now you're hearing them, and they're not stopping.
Okay, so Baker Mayfield, you know, you and I have discussed him at length today here. The report, he could go first overall. That's one of the latest reports we'll see. Baker. I don't think he gets past the Jets at three. Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. Report this, report that. Everybody's got a report. But now the latest report is that the Cardinals reportedly love Baker Mayfield, even though their former coach Bruce Arians over the weekend said they should take Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
He did pipe in and say that at number 15. I mean, who doesn't like Baker Mayfield? He plays hard. He plays well. Look, Why wouldn't you like him?
We've added a detail about Baker Mayfield, and we love him. But how about Bruce Arians talking about Lamar Jackson? Remember when he took Logan Thomas from Virginia Tech?
Oh, yeah.
And Jaw said he was the greatest pick ever?
Oh, yeah.
Remember this a couple of years from now, guys. Logan Thomas.
Yeah, in
Arizona? This kid got so much better in the last 2 months, I couldn't believe it. I mean, he's got a big, strong arm. He's 6'5", 6'6", 250 pounds. I mean, his mechanics were flawless. Great. His accuracy was pinpoint.
That was Football at the 40 with Kiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, Bruce went fellow Hokie because obviously Bruce Arians went to Virginia Tech as well.
Yeah.
He missed on that
He missed. I mean, I do remember watching him play a little bit at Va Tech, but, you know, if you told me, like, this morning when I woke up that Logan Thomas was, like, a top 10 prospect in the White Sox as an outfielder, I'd be like, oh,
yeah.
Logan Thomas.
Yeah.
He's got some power. He can play.
Logan Thomas, the quarterback.
Attaboy, Jaws.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.